Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 154, the first three stanzas. O God, be merciful to me. My soul for refuge comes to thee. Beneath thy wings I safe will stay until these troubles pass away. Psalter 154, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the epistle from Paul to the Romans, chapter 10. We mentioned to you Romans chapter 10. But before we will read the articles, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And thus far.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember the mourning Somer family. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may it be a wonder to each one of us that we are still in the time of grace. Again, we may come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. That again, that thou art yet willing to speak unto us. And may we beg and pray thee that the hearing of the gospel of thy precious word by the power of the Holy Spirit may work faith in our hearts. Lord, we beg and pray thee then for thy honor, for thy glory, that thou would come among us and bless thy word, that sinners would be born again, and that poor needy people may be looking unto thee. And Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou art that only one who can help us with all our needs for this life, but especially also for our never-dying souls. And Lord, again we heard the message of a grieving family, the Somer family. Remember them, Lord, comfort them, and sanctify this calling unto them and unto us. Lord, thou art speaking, prepare to meet thy God. And one day then it will also be our name that will be mentioned. And Lord, then prepare us for that day that we must stand before thee, that holy, infinite, holy, and just Lord God of heaven and earth, who can by no means clear the guilty and teach us that we are guilty, that we are sinful, that we are wretched, that we are in thy sight one mass of sin, and that we are unrighteous and need to be righteous, that we need to be redeemed. But Lord, wilt thou also reveal unto us and teach us and show us of that only way of redemption for hell-worthy sinners through thy Son, through his blood. Lord, we beg and pray thee then that thou would come among us tonight with thy presence of thy Holy Spirit and apply thy word. Lord, remember all those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. Oh, wilt thou awaken them, give them life, give them urgency. Lord, renew them, turn them, and they shall be turned. Draw unto thyself, and they will run after thee. Lord, thou art that only one who can give dead sinners life. We beg thee then, give life to boys, to girls, to teenagers, to adults, to older ones. Lord, we beg and pray thee, have mercy upon us. Thou could pass us all by because of all our sins and iniquities, but in thy wrath, remember mercy. We may lay before thee all the sick and afflicted and all the mourning ones. Lord, remember them all. We beg and pray thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the world today, on thy day, on the Lord's day, that thy kingdom may come, that more sheep may be gathered into that fold under that one shepherd. And may we beg thee, may we and our children be included in that blessed people that have nothing in themselves, but that thou hast provided everything in thyself. Thou who art that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in thee there is complete salvation for completely lost sinners. Lord, we beg thee tonight that there may be yet food and drink for the hungry. Wilt thou feed him with that bread of life, and the thirsty with thy grace? Lord, give opening to preach. Give all that is needed. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances, and may there be much prayer that thou would bless thy word, that thou would help the sinner on the pulpit, and that the hearers may be blessed under the preaching of thy precious word. Lord, wilt thou take away all hindrances, all distractions. Cast out that evil one who would like to distract and pluck at that seed. Oh, wilt thou bind him up and cast him out. Give attentive hearts, enlighten darkened minds to the truth of who we are, of who thou art, and of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Give ears to hear thy voice. Give a mouth to speak, thus saith the Lord. May we be a voice crying in the wilderness, and that thou would bless thy precious word. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us and our children. Pass us not by, but may it be the time of thy free and sovereign grace that thou would pass by many and say, live, and that they may have life. Lord, thou hast passed by Matthew and said, follow me, and he followed thee. Thou art that same God. Thou hast that same grace, that same power. Thou hast saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, hold not thy hand still, but work mightily, irresistibly, conquering hearts, taking away hearts of stone and giving hearts of flesh. And remember, Lord, also all thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep. Oh, may they grow in the grace and the knowledge of that only Savior, the Redeemer, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may bring forth more fruits to thy honor, to thy glory, that there may be more hatred for sin, more living separate from the world. Forgive us of all our sins of worldliness. Give that there may be more love for thy law, for thy ways, for thy name, for thy honor, and for thy glory. Lord, work mightily and irresistibly, and give those blessings that no man can give. And thou hast prayed in that precious prayer that thou hast said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, may thy word be a blessing to the regeneration of sinners, but also to the sanctification of thy dear people, and that through thy word there may be food and drink for hungry, thirsty, poor and needy sinners tonight also. O Lord, wilt thou come among us, and may we be able to go home and say, the Lord was with us, the Lord was among us, that it was a good hour in thy house. Lord, we deserve nothing. We're all sinful. We're polluted. But we beg thee, take reasons out of thyself. Look upon us, hear us, answer us, because of thy dear Son, because of him who is called the Lord, our righteousness. And Lord, thou art the King of the church. Thou wilt care for thy church, and thou wilt work mightily, irresistibly, unto the end of the time. And Lord, wilt thou then work among us and in our families, in our homes. Bless thy word richly in thy house, in school. Help with the education of our children. Remember Rehoboth Christian School. Provide what is all that is needed there. Remember the board. Remember the staff. Give God-fearing teachers. And bless thy word richly to the students. Oh, that many would be born again in Rehoboth Christian School, that many may come to know thee, that boys and girls, teenagers, may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, we ask thee to remember the persecuted church. Uphold them, be near unto them, strengthen them. Wilt thou also thrust out laborers to work in thy vineyard upon this earth, in thy church, Lord? Thou hast instructed us in thy word that we are to pray unto thee. It's thy work. Thou hast the power. Give grace in the hearts of men and call men with thy grace to this precious work, and that they may feel, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast provided in thy mercy, in goodness, to students. Help them, help the instructors, and may we beg thee, Lord, there is such a need throughout the world, on the mission field, but also in our own denomination. Lord, wilt thou call, thrust out, and open the way, and may we be gladdened in this year that thou would provide students, more students, and that in time they may be sent out as ambassadors to preach death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then also us as a nation. Give repentance of all our sins. We sin against all thy commandments. And also, Lord, we have that blood that cries unto thee for vengeance, of that blood of all those unborn children that are murdered in the wombs of their mothers. Lord, bless then the means that may be used to teach of the truth that it is murder, convict and convince of sin, and give laws to protect life from conception until natural death. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember prodigal sons and daughters that have left with their baptized forehead to live in the world. O Lord, we beg thee, thou art an almighty God, wilt thou give in their hearts that life, and that they may return not only to church, not only to be under the means of grace, but especially that they may be renewed and that they may be drawn unto thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also the elders in the coming Lord's days. Help them, guide them, lead them to a word to speak. Give much prayer in the congregation. Bless thy word here, and help also in preaching thy word in the Spanish language in Tarija. Lord, it's through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save sinners. Bless thy word then richly. Look upon us in mercy. Lord, all that we forget, wilt thou not forget, but remember each one and all our cares and needs, not only for this life, but especially for that life to come. Have mercy, Lord. Look upon us, hear us, answer us through that blood of that precious Savior, thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue with singing now from Psalter 444, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Jehovah will not chide with us forever, nor always keep his anger, but deliver his people from their sorrows and distress. He has not crushed the flock of his possession, nor with us according to transgression. He chastens, but with love and tenderness. Psalter 444, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. And the collections for this evening is for the church and the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Heidelberg Catechism is called the Book of Comfort. And that's why it begins with that question, what is the only comfort in life and in death? The whole purpose of the Heidelberg Catechism is to lead sinners to that only comfort. And what is that only comfort? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. And that's my desire for each one of you, that you may know by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that you may be led to that only comfort. Paul had the desire for his brethren, as we read in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's also my desire for you, for every one of you, that you might be saved, that you might have that only comfort. May I ask you, do you know something of this comfort? Do you belong to that only faithful Savior? Because that's everything. Maybe you ask, how can I belong to him? What connects a sinner to that rich Savior? Faith. True saving faith. Faith is the greatest gift of, it's the greatest grace. Faith. Why? Because faith connects a hell-worthy, wretched sinner to that precious mediator, redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we need faith in him. No, not faith in our head, but faith in our heart. We do not need to confess it with our mouth, but we need that faith that we believe in our heart, as we read in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, true saving faith. And now if we do a little review in the Lord's days, we have been speaking of faith. Lord's Day 7, we heard of the essence of faith, a certain knowledge, an assured confidence, and a trust. That's the essence of faith, those three important things. And congregation, not all faith is saving. Remember the devils? They also have faith, but they're not saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself also spoke in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 of those different types of faith. There's four types of faith: historical faith, miraculous faith, temporal faith, and true saving faith. And Lord's Day 7 also doesn't only speak about the essence of faith, but also speaks about the content of faith. And that's the gospel summarized in those 12 articles. And then in Lord's Day 8 through 22, we have considered all those 12 articles of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And the object of true saving faith is a triune God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then in Lord's Day 23 and 24, we heard of the benefits. What does it profit you now that you believe all these things? What's the benefit? Justification. Justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, and not by works at all. And now we come to Lord's Day 25 through 31, which speaks about the sacraments and the importance of grace yet continues. Maybe your question is, how can I have this true saving faith? There's an answer in the Heidelberg Catechism tonight, summarized of what the Lord in his word teaches. That faith that connects to his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe your question is, how can faith that God has worked in my heart, how can that be confirmed? How can that be strengthened? How can I be assured? That's also answered in the Heidelberg Catechism. And so let's read Lord's Day 25, questions and answers 65, 66, 67, and 68. All four questions and answers. Lord's Day 25, question and answer 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ in all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question and answer 66. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question answer 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. And then question and answer 68, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the new covenant or testament? Two, namely holy baptism and the Holy Supper. So tonight's theme is faith and the sacraments. Faith and the sacraments. Three thoughts. First, the divine author of saving faith. The divine author of true saving faith. And we see that in question and answer 65. The second thought, the strengthening of true saving faith. Question and answer 66. And then the focus of true saving faith. And we see that then in answer in question 67. So faith and the sacraments, the divine author of true saving faith, the strengthening of true saving faith, and the focus of true saving faith. May the Lord richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit for his glory and for the comfort of poor and needy sinners. So the first thought, the author of true saving faith. Congregation, without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Faith is essential. Faith is essential in a triune God, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. But how? How do sinners get this faith? How do they have this faith, this essential grace that they need, that you need, that I need? Who forms, who works this faith in the hearts of sinners? If faith is not a work of any human being, and it's not a human decision, where does true saving faith come from? From the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost works faith. Faith doesn't come from an education. You can read all the books. You can study all the doctrines. But faith doesn't come from an education. Neither does it come from being baptized. It doesn't come from participating in the Lord's Supper. No. Faith is worked by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Question and answer 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts. True saving faith comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. He works faith in the hearts of sinners. What does this imply? It implies that you and I do not have faith. Of ourselves, we will only produce unbelief. And that's our guilt, because God made us fully capable of truly having faith. But by our fall, by our rebellion, our hearts, by nature, it's all just unbelief. God, the Holy Spirit, needs to work faith in those hearts that only bring forth unbelief. Everyone who has true and saving faith, it is only because of the Holy Spirit. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And we need personal faith. We're not saved as a church. We're not saved as families. No, we need personal, true, saving faith in our own personal hearts. For a person to please God, they need faith. For a sinner to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, that rich and precious Savior of sinners, they need faith. For a sinner to have eternal life, they need faith. For you to be justified, you need true saving faith and the Holy Spirit. That third person, that blessed person in the Trinity, works faith in the hearts of sinners. Congregation, this is humiliating for us. We cannot produce one speck of trust in God. We can only bring forth unbelief. Everything comes from God. From God. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Regeneration is worked by God. Repentance is worked by God. Faith is worked by God. Justification is from God. Sanctification is from God. It's all from God. And we can only be, by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, recipients. Recipients. And by nature, we only resist everything. But he has that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit to conquer hearts. There's hope because of him. The Holy Spirit gives the desire to believe. The Holy Spirit gives the ability to believe. And the Holy Spirit, again and again in the hearts of his people, gives the exercise to believe. And have you this morning, Church of God, were you given those eyes of faith? That faith may have been an exercise. Hearing the preaching, but also seeing that water. Were you comforted a little? That water that points to the blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that there is a Holy Spirit. We need the Lamb. And we need the Holy Spirit. True believers have nothing from themselves at all. They have nothing to boast about. They only need to depend and completely depend entirely upon God's grace, 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 and grace. Open your Bible, please, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And we'll read verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." That's the testimony of those with true saving faith. It's all of him. Nothing to boast of. It's all of him. But this is not only humiliating, but it's also a comfort. If the Lord said, you need to produce even one little speck of true saving faith, we would absolutely all be utterly, entirely, eternally lost. Because we cannot. We cannot produce faith in ourselves. We can only produce unbelief. Do you need faith? There's a Holy Ghost that works faith in the hearts. And he is the author. He is the author of true saving faith. He's the author of that faith that believes in God, that believes in the Son, and that believes in the Holy Spirit. True saving faith, which is worked in the hearts of sinners, is not only historical, is not only miraculous, is not temporary, but it is eternal. Once he has come into that heart and worked faith, that faith will end in glory. That Holy Spirit will work it, that worked it, and he will keep it, that they will never, ever perish. He's the author of eternal salvation. He works true saving faith not in our minds. Yes, he enlightens our minds to the truth, but he works in the hearts. He works in the very core, in the soul of sinners to give them faith. And this faith is attacked. It's tried. It's tested. Attacked by Satan. It's tried and tested numerous times in different ways, in different depths. But it will endure. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the author of this faith. My friend, do you have faith? You need faith, true saving faith that connects to a precious Savior. No man can destroy this faith. No Satan in all his power can destroy this faith. This faith that is planted by the Holy Spirit. So who works this true saving faith in the hearts of sinners? The Holy Spirit. But then this leads to the question, how? How does he work faith in the hearts of sinners? What did we read in question and answer 65? By the gospel. Let's read from Romans 10, 13, 14, and 17. Romans 10, verse 10, 13, 14, and 17. Romans 10, 13, and 14, and 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then we read in verse 17, so then faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does the Holy Spirit work faith? By the word, by the precious gospel, by the preaching of the gospel. And in the history of the church, there came a great debate between the Anabaptists and the Reformers. Their debate was about how the Holy Spirit works faith in the hearts of sinners. The Anabaptists said that he does it directly. Does it directly without any means at all. And the Reformers said no. They pointed to what Paul wrote. The inspired word of God. That through the preaching of the gospel, that God, the Holy Spirit, works faith in the hearts of sinners. And therefore we are called to obey the command of Christ to preach the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15. And he saith unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is a lesson for you and me. We need to take every opportunity that we have to what? To hear the preaching of the gospel. To read the word, to hear the gospel, because through the word, through the gospel, it's a means to work faith in the hearts of sinners. The Holy Spirit works faith through the gospel, through the word of God, in the hearts of sinners. I think of Peter on the day of Pentecost. He preached the gospel, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 sinners were blessed under the preaching of the gospel. I think of Lydia. At the riverside, Paul came and he preached the gospel. And her heart was open and she believed and she was saved. I think of the jailer. He heard the gospel and he was saved. We need to hear the gospel because it's the means to work faith in the hearts of sinners. The Holy Spirit is the author of faith. And he works it in the hearts of sinners by the preaching of the gospel. How does the Holy Spirit plant faith and work faith in the hearts of sinners? And now I'd like to ask you to do a little homework when you go home. There's a beautiful explanation, and I don't want to read it now. I want you to read it when you go home. In the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 155. Read it. It has a beautiful explanation of how the Holy Spirit works faith. And so the Holy Spirit is the author of faith, and he uses the preaching of the gospel. Congregation, we need to beg the Lord every time we come together that the Holy Spirit would bless the preaching of the word, not only to help that sinner in the pulpit, but more, much more, for his honor and for his glory, that he would work by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would bless irresistibly the preaching to the hearts, to your hearts, to those who are sitting in your bench, to those who are in the same congregation, to family members. May we become beggars every time before we come to the house of God, begging him to bless the gospel, the preaching of the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. My friend, do you have true saving faith? You need true saving faith, that precious gift of God which connects to that rich and precious Savior, Jesus Christ. So, the author of faith, the Holy Spirit, he works faith, but he does more. What does he do more? Well, that's our second thought. The strengthening of true saving faith. The strengthening of true saving faith. Sinners under the preaching of the gospel have faith worked in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that faith which believers, true believers, which those little lambs and sheep have, it needs to be strengthened, or as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, it needs to be confirmed. And the Holy Spirit that works faith by the preaching confirms it by the preaching, but also especially by the sacraments. The sacraments are for the strengthening of faith, which God's people already have, which sinners have. The sacraments are not to work faith. The gospel is to work faith. And the sacraments are to confirm and to strengthen that faith. The sacraments and the word. We never have during the week a baptism service. We never have during the week just the Lord's Supper. No, they need to be together. Together. The preaching of the word and the sacraments. And by the preaching and the sacraments, that faith that is worked in the hearts of sinners is strengthened, confirmed, and assured. God strengthens the faith of his poor, tried, afflicted, perishing people, of that weak faith that also is so often tried, is so weak, so mixed with so much unbelief. Like that father of that lunatic boy, I believe, help thou my unbelief. They need faith, and they need that faith strengthened. So how does God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, strengthen that faith? By the sacraments. Well, then, to understand this, how he does it, we first need to understand what are the sacraments. What are the sacraments? A sacrament is a sign and a seal of God's grace. God's grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why every sign in the sacraments refers to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Children, what does water point to in baptism? This morning you saw that. Water on those two babies. You saw water being sprinkled three times. What does that water point to? I think you know. It points to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What does the wine in the Lord's Supper? Do you see it at the Lord's Supper when I can pour that wine? And you see that wine being poured out? What does it point to? It points also to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the bread, you see that bread, when it's broken and handed out, that bread points to the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the sacraments, there are signs, water, wine, and bread, which seal, are used to seal to the hearts of believers the promise of the gospel. So signs are to seal the promise of the gospel to the hearts of God's dear sheep, the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Let's read question and answer 66 again. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. So the holy baptism and Holy Supper, only two sacraments, as we read at the end, they're the only two sacraments instituted by Christ to strengthen the faith of God's dear people. There are no more sacraments, as the Roman Catholic Church has seven sacraments, but there's only two, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he only instituted two. He instituted baptism in Matthew 28, verse 19. And he also instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, 26 through 28. The sacraments are holy signs and seals appointed by God to strengthen the faith of believers in the promise of the gospel. Let's take a moment to consider this. What does this really mean? What does this mean? God, in his goodness and mercy, desires that the faith of his dear people is strengthened and comforted by the gospel. God comforts his people by the preaching of the gospel, but he also desires to strengthen their faith by the sacraments in a visible way. That's something they can see, that they can touch, that they can taste. That's the goodness and mercy of God. He gives a visible sign to seal what he promises. And God has done this through the history of the church. He did this in the Old Testament already. Just one little example. Children, I think you know the history of Gideon. God gave him a promise that he would conquer, that God would give such a deliverance. And Gideon, he wanted the Lord to strengthen his faith in what God had promised. Open your Bible to Judges chapter 6, and there we will read of that example. Judges 6, verse 37. Judges 6, verse 37. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So Gideon wanted a sign. He asked the Lord to strengthen his faith in what God has said. And through the sacraments, through the signs, God seals what he has promised in the gospel through his Son. And today, when poor needy sinners may look at that water, those true believers who had faith worked in their heart already by the Holy Spirit may look at that water in baptism. Or when they may come to the Lord's Supper, God's people who have true saving faith, and when they may taste and eat of that bread, and when they may see that water, something visible, God desires to strengthen their faith. What mercy, what goodness. He gives the gospel and he gives the visible gospel. God gives His church simple, ordinary things. Simple water, simple wine, simple bread, that all point to one thing. It all points to His Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father knows that His dear children, their faith is so often so tried, so afflicted, and it needs to be strengthened. It needs to be strengthened to have strength in Him for His honor and for His glory and for their comfort. God works faith, and He also desires to strengthen that faith that He has planted. And very reverently speaking, in the sacraments, the Lord comes close to His people. He comes close to His dear people, and He embraces them through the merits of His dear Son. He wants them to be heartily assured of His faithfulness and His love for them. He says, look at that broken bread and think of My Son. He says, look at that poured out wine and think of that blood that cleanses from all sin. He says, look at that water and think of My Son, of what He has done, that He has poured out His blood in Him. And through Him, there is that gift of eternal life. He wants to assure them of it. He wants to assure them of His love. In marriage, we give a ring to our dear husband and wife. I have a ring too. And every time I may look at this ring, it's a sign and a seal of the love of my dear wife. But God, in His mercy and His goodness, He gives signs and seals to speak of His infinite love for such unworthy wretches. And He longs for their faith to be strengthened. Why? What happens when their faith is strengthened in Him? Then they desire to live more in holiness, more closer life to them. That comfort breaks their hearts. It breaks their hearts again. And they want to be living more like Mary, not like Martha. They want to live closer. They want more holiness. They don't want to displease Him. They want to cut off all sin. And holiness brings glory to God. So God, for His name, for His honor and glory, not only has the gospel preached to work faith, to give comfort, but He also instituted the sacraments to give that comfort in who He is through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit for His glory and for their eternal comfort. The Holy Spirit works faith through the preaching of the gospel, and through the sacraments, that faith is strengthened, comforted. And what a blessing is when you may sit at that table and you may be assured of His hearty love. Children, we like to hear that our father or our mother loves us, right? That warms our heart. Well, those poor and needy sinners, those children of God, want to be confirmed of His love for them. They want to be assured again and again. That bride wants to hear the voice of the bridegroom. They want to be comforted. They want to be embraced. They want to be kissed. They want to be held by Him. And He does it in the preaching of the gospel. But He even gave more. The gospel is sufficient, but God gave more. What mercy, what goodness, that we would believe, Church of God, His promise of life eternal, of salvation in His Son. But should God's children focus on those signs and those seals? I saw Mass took place once in Bolivia. I saw it. They have such reverence for that wafer. They don't want to spill one little crumb. Why? Because they literally think it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They worship the wafer. They worship the wine. We are not supposed to worship the signs at all. They have one focus, one purpose. What is that? Well, we consider that in our last thought, but let us first sing. We will sing from Psalter 182, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. 182, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. O Zion, 'tis thy God's command that thou in strength securely stand. O God, confirm and strengthen still the purposes in us fulfill. 182, 1, 6, and 7. Faith and the sacraments. The divine author of true saving faith, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and he works faith through the gospel, but also that strengthening of faith through the sacraments for those poor, tried, and afflicted people. But let's now read question and answer 67 again. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. So the focus of true saving faith. Congregation, the only sacrifice with sin which satisfied the infinite holy justice of God is the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you are a sinner. You are a hell-worthy sinner. And you need to be connected to that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to be connected by Him is not by works, but it's by faith. Faith worked by the Holy Ghost. And through that way, there's only one way to meet Him in peace. To be connected to that precious Savior, that Redeemer, whom we have heard in this morning. So how can you be connected to that sacrifice? It's only by true saving faith. And faith is a gift of God. Are you lost? Do you need faith? Beg the Lord for faith. It's a gift. That means we may ask Him. We may beg Him. Confess your unbelief. Confess your sinfulness. And beg Him to work that faith in your heart that you do not have of yourself. That you will never ever be able to produce yourself. That you can only produce unbelief. Ask Him for that faith. That faith, that true saving faith. That way that you will truly know Him. That holy, just God, but also merciful and gracious. That faith that you will know who you are. That you're one mass of sin before a holy and just God. But also that faith that will know and believe in that only Savior, the only mediator, that only Savior of sinners, of hell-worthy sinners. And dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, Church of God, there's only one way of salvation for you, and it's not in you. It's only in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What a lesson to learn. Nothing in us, but it's only in Him and in that own foundation. Oh, to surrender everything and to be only on that only foundation and be trusting, resting upon that only sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of the preaching, and that's the purpose also of sacraments, that God's people, poor, needy sinners, would only focus on one thing, on that one place where there is peace and rest, and that is on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, on the cross of Christ. It all focuses on one place, His sacrifice. Arminianism focuses on what man does. But the gospel, the precious gospel revealed in the Word of God, focuses on what a triune God has provided and does in the hearts of sinners. All the glory to Him. And Paul, a dear child of God, learned this lesson by the Holy Spirit and by grace. Please open your Bible to Galatians 6. And we'll read what Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verse 14. Paul has a confession. Paul has only one hope. His only focus is on one place. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul's glory is in the cross of Christ. It's his glory, his hope, his focus was only in the cross of Christ. He did not boast. He did not boast about the wonderful virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an unspeakable gift. What a necessity. What a precious gift that God was born in the flesh. He didn't focus on that. He knew it. He tasted of it. And he said also, thanks be unto God of that unspeakable gift. But God, Paul did not boast in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He did not boast in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. And so necessary that he lived holy, that he kept the law, that he has a righteousness. Paul didn't focus on that. He tasted it. He knew it. He knew he needed it. And he did not boast about the great teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no preacher ever preached like him. What wisdom, what power, what precious sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul didn't boast in that either. Paul didn't boast in the precious miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the miracle, that wonderful miracle that he raised Lazarus after he had been dead for 4 days. What power! What power! And Paul didn't boast in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't boast in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul boasted in the cross of Jesus Christ. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, the cross of Jesus Christ was the center. Why, Paul? Why did you say, God forbid that I should glory in anything else? Even of all those other precious beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he only want to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ? What's the lesson for us? What's the lesson for poor, needy sinners? What's the lesson for all his lambs and his sheep? Because in that little phrase, the cross of Christ is salvation. In that, that is where there is salvation. What happened on the cross? On the cross, the Lamb of God suffered and died. On the cross, he gave that payment. He laid down his life. He gave his blood. He gave everything. He poured it all out before his Father. And that was a sweet-smelling sacrifice to his Father. That burnt offering of his Son upon the cross. He said, "It is finished. Finished." He fulfilled what he was sent to do. He can lay it all before his Father with reverence. I could say he gave that payment and he put it before his Father. And there his Father was satisfied. He was never satisfied. He was satisfied when he created all things. And he could look and say, it's very good. But from the very moment when man sinned, God the Father was never satisfied with anything upon this earth. You could give your firstborn son, as we read in the prophets. He wasn't satisfied. He was never satisfied. But when he saw his only beloved son, that Lamb of God, when he suffered, when he died, when he experienced, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was willing to be forsaken. That those who should be eternally forsaken will never experience being forsaken, but that they may be taken home and to live in eternal sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Paul learned by the Holy Spirit that centered that core to glory only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the focus of the sacrament. That's the focus also of the gospel. To focus on that payment. Why? What do we read in the form of Holy Supper? That through that sacrifice, he can assure sinners of his hearty love and faithfulness unto him. And what do we read in the Belgic Confession? That in his wounds, not in his birth. Yes, it's precious. It's beautiful. It's so necessary. But in his wounds is all manner of consolation. Oh, to be taken not only to the manger, not only to see that Savior who is the Lord our righteousness, not only to see all those miracles, not to hear all his preaching, but also be taken, led, drawn to that place of the cross, because there, there God the Father was satisfied, and there the arms opened. As that prodigal son could experience the arms of his dear father, There those arms are opened of God the Father that we closed because of our sin. There they're opened because of His Son, His only Son. And He can open them for hell-worthy sinners through that payment, through the cross where that blood was poured out. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 11, He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. My friend, do you have grace? Do you have faith? Have you repented? Are you repented? Do you have true saving faith? You need that gift of that grace of faith. You miss it? Beg Him for it. Confess your unbelief. Do you have a mountain of sin? Do you wonder how it can ever be cleansed? How it can ever be washed away? Only through that blood of the precious Lamb of God. That blood cleanses from original sin and all actual sin. All sins against all Ten Commandments. Sins, vile sins, wicked sins, sins that we do willingly, sins that we do again and again and again. The only perfect, complete payment that satisfied God the Father is the payment of His Son on the cross. And that's where we need to be led to, because that's the place. That's the place where God the Father was satisfied. That is the place where there can be true peace, true joy in Him, and redemption through His blood. Children of God, live as Paul. Live as Paul. Don't glory in anything else. No, don't throw away what God has given you. But don't glory in anything except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Live as Paul. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the way of peace. That's the way of comfort. That's the way of sweet communion with the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O Lord, wilt Thou work that faith in the hearts of sinners? We can only produce unbelief, and that's our guilt. Oh, we beg Thee that through the preaching of the precious gospel, that faith is worked by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of sinners, but also that it is strengthened, not only through the preaching, but also through the sacraments. Lord, may we acknowledge Thee that Thou hast given unto us and our children the precious gospel, which is able to make us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. But Thou hast also given us those sacraments that Thou hast instituted to strengthen the faith of Thy dear people. Lord, remember us in Thy mercy. We beg and pray Thee, keep, guide, and protect us. Keep us from an unprepared death, and prepare us all to meet Thee. Watch over us in the coming weeks. Give traveling mercies to all who are traveling. And Lord, may we acknowledge Thee for this day, to be in Thy house, to hear Thy word for Thy help. For without Thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Lord, we beg that we may take Thy word with us, and that we may meditate upon it, and that Thou would yet give the application and those blessings that no man can give us, but only Thee. Wash and cleanse us then from all our sins in preaching and in listening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing now from Psalter 88. Psalter 88, stanzas 1 and 3. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. And what follows, 88 stanzas 1 and 3.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord.
and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.